We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Gets it, spins away, baseline shot, Shea puts it in, and walks it off in OKC.
Giddy keeps it himself and takes it up as he glides with the finger roll.
What is up and welcome to the Uncontested Post-Game Podcast Edition. I'm your host for tonight, technically this morning because it is 12.04 a.m., Jacob Niffen. As the Thunder beat the Los Angeles Lakers on a momentous night in the NBA community, in the NBA history, Thunder beat the Lakers 133-130. We are proudly part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and DailyThunder.com. If you don't already, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your pods. Leave us a 5-star rating. That'd be dope. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and TikTok. Speaking of YouTube, we're closing in on that 1K mark for the subs. So go drop a subscription to the Uncontested. The next time we will be live is 30 minutes before the trade deadline hits on Thursday. My guy JD Silva and I will be live here. That is a live show only. It will not be on your podcast feeds. So if you're going to be at work, that's cool. Just pull up the YouTube channel, pop your headphones in, listen to us, and hang out as we talk trades. But we're not talking that right now. Because what a freaking night. Thunder come in on the second night of a back-to-back after getting the damn doors blown off up in San Francisco against the Golden State Warriors. Come into easily the most viewed game of any of these players' lives for the Thunder. I think that's pretty fair to say. I don't know if any of the guys on the Oklahoma City Thunder, from Mike Muscala all the way down to who is the youngest guy that played tonight, probably Josh Giddey. I don't think any of those guys have ever played in a bigger environment than they did tonight. Second night of a back-to-back. LeBron closing in on the scoring record. And the Thunder win the damn game. And looked incredible while they did it. I got some big takeaways tonight that we're going to break down. Those would be, number one, composure. We're going to talk a lot about that here in just a second. Number two, team effort. Three, playoff rotations. Four, Jay Will's progression. And five, the Thunder stars. Plural, because they got a handful of them, folks. I really think they do. You guys are degenerates, and we already have like a crazy amount of people watching live at midnight Central Standard Time. If y'all are from the East Coast, it's 1 a.m. Man, thank you guys. If you got questions, drop them in the comments, please. I'd love to get to all your questions, all your comments. I'm just going to read through the whole comment section. So just jump in here. You guys are awesome. I appreciate it. Before we get to my five takeaways, we got to do a quick game summary. I'm going to try to make this as quick as possible. On my nights to cover the games for the Uncontested, I just pull up my notes app and I just jot down notes as the game is going on. So here are my notes. First quarter starts. The Thunder are starting Shea, Josh, Kenrich, J-Dub, J-Will. We got the three Williams starting. And my first note of the game was that the Los Angeles Lakers started Dennis Schroeder on SGA instead of Pat Bev on SGA. And I just found that interesting. I figured they would want to get Pat Bev on him, maybe try to get up in him a little bit, prevent Shea from like being able to dribble the ball out in front of him, whatever. I found that fascinating. So that was my first note. And this game starts off with a Williams three, and then a Williams three, and then a Williams three. Three different guys, all three Williams, all three hit a three. I thought it was awesome. I loved it. That was just a really fun wrinkle. I tweeted out and said something like, I think we're all supposed to go buy lottery tickets now or, you know, do something. Because that was just incredible. It was really cool. The beginning of the game, OKC seemed very tentative to drive inside. They didn't want to attack the paint, especially when LeBron and AD were in there. It just felt like the size and the length was kind of intimidating for OKC early, and so they were settling for a whole bunch of jumpers. And then I just said, really, OKC cannot get inside. They had five threes in the first 9 minutes. That felt like a direct result of the Lakers clogging the paint and not letting the Thunder get into the interior. Five threes in 9 minutes was very massive, especially considering what happened the night before up in Golden State. The Thunder were just very hot. And then as soon as LeBron and AD went to the bench, the Lakers brought in Thomas Bryant, Russell Westbrook. I forget who else was on the floor at that time. The paint just completely opened up and Shea started doing Shea stuff and started getting into the lane. I think Shea had something like 15 points on 4 of 5 shooting at the end of the first quarter. Just a ridiculously stupid, efficient quarter. It was absurd. Absolutely absurd. We dive into the second quarter. LeBron came in and played against OKC's bench for a while. J-Dub started the game guarding LeBron. And then for most of the rest of the game, it was Kenrich Williams getting that assignment, which I kind of figured that's what it would be with Lou Dort out. But LeBron came in, played against the bench. And at the start of that second quarter, the Thunder really started to struggle creating offense. Just couldn't get anything going. I forget exactly what happened in the second quarter that made me write this note. I think it was a J. Will 3. And then there was a move where like he hit a pump fake from 3 and put the ball on the floor and like drove in and did like some fancy layup. Because my note just says J. Will is effing cooking, but I didn't write effing. I wrote the word. And then late in the second quarter, I just wrote that OKC is absolutely dissecting the Lakers defense. 76 first half points is absurd. That's on pace for 152 in the game. The Thunder scored 153 just a few nights ago against the Houston Rockets. Lakers defense is just porous, man. It's bad. You want to talk about Thursday being the trade deadline. Lakers got to do something or they are in trouble. They're not a good basketball team. We come out the third quarter. The Thunder stay incredibly aggressive offensively. Some of my favorite moments of the night came at the beginning of the third quarter where they put Patrick Beverley on Josh Giddey. Josh's handle isn't super tight. Somebody on Twitter time, maybe it was Dan Devine, said Josh Giddey looks like the best dribbler in 1958, and I took that kind of personally. But they put Pat Bev on Josh to try to crowd him and make him uncomfortable with his dribble. And I freaking loved it because Josh is 6'8", 220, and he just said, I'm going to put your ass underneath the basket. And he drove baseline, put his shoulder into Patrick Beverley, and just escorted his ass right out of the way and hit a layup over him. It's exactly what Luka did in the playoffs. Too small. I mean, I wish Josh would have bent over and done the too small, like put his hand down near the ground. I would have lost my freaking mind. My next note says, if it wasn't for LeBron, this game would be ugly. I mean, LeBron scored a lot of points, obviously. If he wasn't in there, this game would have been absolutely ugly. 104 points in three quarters for the Thunder. Just incredible. And in that third quarter, even though this is a Thunder podcast, we got to take a break. Because LeBron, on a turnaround jumper, breaks the all-time scoring record, breaks Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record that's been in place for, I think they said, 38 years. Was I annoyed that we took 30 minutes to do everything? Yes. Was I annoyed that we had a second halftime at 11 p.m.? Yes. Was I annoyed at this stupid Drake thing? Yes. But in all seriousness, a monumental milestone. I mean, there's times where I don't like LeBron James because he doesn't play on my basketball team and he does stuff and I just don't like it. But you can't deny what this guy is. I mean, people are going to debate the GOAT. I'm not here to do that right now in the middle of this podcast. But this kid from a single-parent household growing up in poverty in Akron, Ohio, to rise to where he is now, like, that is, I mean, there's going to be stories for forever about LeBron. Just an absolute monumental moment for that guy. Incredible. Really impressive stuff. So shout out to LeBron, one of the greatest of all times. Now is the leading scorer in NBA history. I believe it was Mike Vigil who does the Phoenix Suns podcast. Awesome dude. I love that he tweeted. He said, every time LeBron hits a bucket from now to the end of his career, we should stop the game because he is again breaking the record. And I just love that. Fourth quarter, rough start. Lakers go on a 7-0 run to tie the game. Then we get the J-Dub takeover, baby. We're going to talk a lot about J-Dub tonight, folks, because that man, whoo, Lord have mercy on my soul, that man is incredible. I tweeted about this. So everyone, like, obsessed, rightfully so, over he picked off a Russell Westbrook pass, took it the length of the court and dunked it. But it was the defensive possession before that. He was on Russ, got switched onto Rui Hachimura. Rush drove in and swung the ball back to Rui at the top of the key. J-Dub closed out hard. And if you take really long strides as you close out to the ball, it's hard to reverse your momentum. And so guys drive by you. J-Dub closed out and took really choppy steps and just had his arm up and didn't jump. And so Rui's pump fake didn't get him. Rui then put the ball on the ground with his right hand, tried to drive. J-Dub walled up strictly with his chest, arms out wide, just put his chest on Rui's body, slid with him three steps. Rui tried to step back, and at that point, J-Dub just used the insane 7'3" wingspan to jump up and close out on the shot. Rui shoots it short by like a foot and a half, and the Thunder are in transition. It's not sexy. It's not a steal. It's not a block. It's not, you know, some like whatever. It's very textbook. But when Mark Daigneault and this coaching staff rave about the potential of J-Dub as a defender, that is what they are talking about. I need to go back and find that clip and take it and like put it on YouTube or make like a YouTube short of it or something and explain what's all happening there. That is elite level defense, especially for a rookie. Like, that is the type of shit that you dream about your guys being able to do defensively. And if Dub can continue to grow in that sphere, I mean, watch the hell out. I don't even know. Bill Simmons said he's Jaylen Brown with Freddy Krueger arms. Like, it's not a bad comp, to be honest. Like, could J-Dub end up being a Jaylen Brown type player? I honestly really think so. Like, this kid is insane. That defensive possession in the fourth quarter, in crypto, in this night, that possession just blew me away, that defensive possession. We're going to talk more about J-Dub here in a little bit. LeBron, AD, and Shea all come back with 6 minutes left in the game. Shea's only three-pointer of the night comes shortly after on a step back. And just in transition, just drains it. And then the next possession, he's just isolated like 26 feet away from the basket against Dennis Schroeder and just sticks his arms in and just takes the ball straight away from Schroeder and goes down the court. I mean, Shea was just doing whatever the hell he wanted. It was awesome. Awesome. And then the turnovers. The Thunder just turned the Lakers over like crazy down the stretch there. J-Dub had multiple steals. There was one that was like an entry pass to AD that Shea came over and tipped and got. Just really impressive swarming defense by the Thunder there in that fourth quarter. And then the end got uncomfortable. The Thunder did not close well, allowed the Lakers to get within four. And it got real close there, and I got a little worried. Shea went to the line, hit two free throws. No, it was J-Dub, hit two free throws. Lakers came down, I think got a basket, got it down to three on like a Pat Bev step back, but there was 1 second left, and the game was in the books. Lots of comments in here. I love it, guys. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. I'm going to get to all of these comments, I promise. Let's get back to my five big takeaways. First one, composure. Need to talk about this for a second. The Thunder's starting lineup tonight, Josh Giddey, 20 years old, played 35 minutes. SGA, 24 years old, played 38 minutes. Kenrich Williams, how old is Kenrich? Like 25, 26, 27, played 30 minutes. J-Dub, who is 21, 40 minutes. Jay Will, who is like 21, 22, 31 minutes, right? That is rookie, second-year guy, fifth-year guy, and I don't know how many years Kendrick's been in the league, like what, like 4 or 5 years? So not a ton of experience in that starting lineup. To come into this game, like going into the Crypto Center just on any night, I mean, it's always packed. Lakers fans always show out. It's always a big deal because of the building that it is. It's kind of like MSG, but it's not because the shitty Knicks don't play there. It's like it's a big deal. And then for it to be against LeBron on a second night of a back-to-back when the whole freaking world is watching. Like, not the nation, the world, watching LeBron go for this record. That's big. And for young people, you can get very overwhelmed by that, get caught in the moment. I just cannot describe how impressive the composure of this team is. That goes to the leaders of the team. That goes to Shea. It goes to Lou. It goes to Kenrich, for sure, goes to Mike Muscala. Also goes to the coaching staff. I love that Stan Van Gundy mentioned tonight that Mark Daigneault should be mentioned in Coach of the Year circles. He deserves it. What he's done with this team is amazing. I think his leadership is awesome. Can't talk enough about the composure of this team tonight. Even with 10 seconds to go in the third quarter, and we take a 20-minute hiatus to celebrate LeBron, I mean, that I, to me, as a 32-year-old person, older than anyone on the team, which I realized the other day, and that makes me feel really old, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. That's the moment where I think it would set in, like, holy crap, this is historic. Look at all of these people who paid like $50,000 a piece to be here tonight. Look at like all of this. Like, that would be so overwhelming. You go to the bench and you just sit there and watch this coronation happening on the court, and then to come back out and to play the way they did to close the game. I mean, you just, it's impressive. It is. This is what's going to take this team like forward, is the composure that they play with. They play like they're starting like 5-10 year vets in the league. It's so impressive. So impressive. All right. Takeaway number two. Team effort. What I mean by that, let me read through the points totals for tonight. We got Jay Will with 14, J-Dub with 25, Kenrich with 8, Shea with 30, Josh with 20, Muscala with 16, and Joe with 15. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys in double figures, and Kenrich missed it by 2 points. Everybody just chipped in. Now, when you have 133 points in a game, everyone kind of has to chip in to get to 133 because that's a lot of points. But just incredibly impressive. it wasn't like the Shea show tonight, right? Shea took 17 shots. Josh took 19 shots. Now Shea did take 12 free throws. J-Dub took 19 shots. Isaiah Joe got 11 shots. Mike Muscala got 10 shots. The way they fed off of each other, there was very few like moments in the game where I felt like the offense wasn't humming at a very high pace. The ball movement, the way they were reading the floor, the player movement, everything was just so good tonight. And you have to give it up. They all contributed in scoring the ball. You look at assists. This one blows my mind too. Just reading down the line, 7, 2, 5, 8, 6, 2, and 2 for a total of 32 assists on 49 made baskets. That's awesome. Everybody who touched the floor tonight, with the exception of Aaron Wiggins and Trey Mann, who only played 5 minutes, Aaron played 22. Everybody besides Mann and Wiggins registered at least 2 assists. This is the type of team they're trying to build. Guys that can make decisions, who can score, who can pass, who can rebound. You look down the rebounding list. It's 7, 7, 4, 2, 5, 4, 5, 3. I mean, everybody pitched in and did their part tonight to get a big win on a national stage against a team you're fighting for a playing spot against. And, you know, just the overall, the team effort, incredible. Point number 3. I'm trying to get through my points quick because I want to hit all of your guys' comments and questions here. Point number 3 was playoff rotation. When you look at the minutes breakdown tonight, I already mentioned the starters, but I'm going to go through them again real quick for you guys. Jay Will played 31 minutes. Jay Dub played 40. Kenrich Williams played 30. Shea played 38. Josh played 35. So that's 30 plus for all the starters. Muscala got 17. Joe got 23. Aaron Wiggins got 22. And Trey Mann got 5. Baisley, Lindy Waters, Eugene Omorui, all DMP coaches' decisions. That is a 9-man rotation with your 9th man being Trey Mann, only playing 5 minutes, taking 1 shot. That was his only stat in the stat sheet. 1 shot, no rebounds, no assists, no blocks, no turnovers, no steals, no fouls. Is this what the Thunder's play-in slash playoff rotation will look like? We know they're prioritizing development, but this was a game they wanted. And Mark coached and had a rotation like this was a game they wanted. Whenever they make the play-in this year, if they do, or if they make the playoffs this year, if they do, like, you're not giving Usman Jang a random 10 minutes, right? You are prioritizing maximizing minutes to win. This rotation is interesting. 8 guys. Basically 8 guys. No Trey Mann. Now, would that have expanded if Dort was healthy? Like, does Wiggins get 22 and Joe get 23 if Dort plays tonight? It's an interesting question. I don't know. What if Poku and JRE come back? Do they play minutes and now we're working our way up to a 10-man rotation? Or an 11-man with Dort, right? Where's the give and where's the take there? But Mark coached this game tonight as if it were a play-in game. It had the vibes of a playoff game. On TNT, packed house out in Los Angeles, the crowd, the emotion. Like, it was a very, very much like a playoff atmosphere. And the rotations resembled that. And I find that very fascinating. I also just find it insanely fascinating that in that environment, against that team, the leading guy for minutes in the game was J-Dub, a rookie. 40 minutes. Played 2 more than Shea. Played 5 more than Josh. Played 10 more than Kenrich. I don't have sources inside the team. I don't get to go and sit on media row and go to practices and talk to guys. But I try to be very observant. I try to have good perspective on things and perceive what's going on. They freaking love J-Dub. They love this dude. And a great reason why, too. I mean, he's incredible. He's just effing incredible, man. Point number four was J. Will's progression. So I'm not going to pull up J. Will's game logs. I guess I could while I talk. I'll try to pull them up while I talk. But I tweeted tonight that it feels like Jalen has his best game of his career, his very, very young career. And then he follows it up the next night with the best game of his career. And then he follows it up the next night with the best game of his career. So let's look at his last one, two, three, four, five games. Okay, 5 games ago against Cleveland. He plays 18 minutes. Let's see here, 8.6 rebounds, 2 assists, and was 2 of 2 from three. And then against Golden State the first time around, 12 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 of 3 from three. And then against Houston in the loss, he only played 12 minutes in that game, 7 points, 4 rebounds, an assist and a block, 1 of 3 from three. You go to the bludgeoning of Houston in Oklahoma City. He played 24 minutes, 8 points, 6 rebounds, an assist, 2 of 2 from three. You go to the bludgeoning on the other end up in the Bay Area last night. He plays 20 minutes. Wow. 5 points, 5 rebounds, 1 of 2 from three. And then you look at his stat sheet tonight. 14 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 2 of 2 from the 3-point line, and 4 of 6 from three. Every game, he's playing better and better and better and better. At the beginning of the year, I thought this guy was going to play more G League minutes. To be quite honest, if JRE and Poku and Chet weren't all injured, he probably is playing G League minutes. But he got his opportunity. Are there still flaws? Yes, of course. He's a rookie. He's a second round pick. But what he's doing, you're seeing the vision. You're seeing why Sam Presti chose to select this kid. He drew a massive charge on LeBron. He's splashing in threes. He's having like acrobatic layups. He had a really nice little give and go with Josh Giddey on the break for a big dunk. He had one play where like, this dude is a really good passer. And I love when he like rears back and throws it like he's a MLB pitcher and rifles that son of a bitch across the court. I love it. It cracks me up every time. He makes really good reads. Like calling him like a mini Draymond is completely unfair. But the playmaking aspect that he has is kind of like Draymond-esque. I think he's playing better defense, and the shot just has been like insanely impressive. He's 15 of 30 on the season from three. He's the best 3-point shooter on the damn team. Crazy. I've been very impressed. Every game that passes, he gets better and better and better. No rookie wall yet, but he obviously hasn't played a whole lot to eventually fall onto a rookie wall. Interesting nonetheless. I just think he's been a very big bright spot that I did not expect this season. So shout out to J. Will. Lastly, my last of my 5 points, Thunder Stars. We're going to go a little bit longer on this one. We're already at 28 minutes. I'm supposed to shoot for 30, but I got to answer guys' questions. Thunder Stars. Josh Giddey, 10 of 19 from the field for 20 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. I thought Josh was awesome tonight. Hung a few like little floating layups short, but he had a lefty layup over LeBron in the fourth quarter. That's the stuff you're looking for. It was awesome. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 9 of 17 from the field. 1 of 1 from 3, 11 of 12 from the free throw line. This man on LeBron's big night goes for 30 points, 2 rebounds, 8 assists, and 2 steals. I mean, he got what he wanted. 9 of 17. I mean, another tonight he goes, what is that? Like 55, 100, and like 93 shooting splits, 55 from the field, 100% from three, 95% from the free throw line, 8 assists. He just drove in, and when the lane collapsed, he'd kick out the shooters who shot really well tonight. He found cutters on his drives, just incredible. And I've mentioned him a ton tonight. We're going to talk about him again. J-Dub, 10 of 19, same as Josh. 3 of 6 from 3. 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 6 steals. 6! 25 points. The damn go-go gadget arms just get in every passing lane. Sometimes it's not even a rip, like picking off a pass. It's just, he's just straight rips somebody. They try to drive by him, he just, whoop, there's the ball. I'm going to take it and go the other way and dunk it.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The stars. They got 3 of them, folks. Like, I am... He's a rookie. I know he's a rookie. I mean, this guy's like a future all-star. He's insane. He's so good. So good. What's he going to look like next year with another full offseason under his belt? And he polishes the jumper. I mean, he was going at dudes tonight. He couldn't be stopped going to the basket. And he's got this beautiful little move where he just dribbles left and never collects the ball and just scoops it with the left and goes up, keeps it constantly like away from the man on his hip. They've got 3 dudes, like dudes, who can dribble, pass, shoot, who can all play lead guard, who can all get their own shot whenever they want it. And they haven't added Chet Holmgren yet. And what happens when that guy comes back? And what happens this summer when the Thunder make the play-in and end up with pick 15 and Presti trades 15 plus 3 future first plus a player to go to 7 and get a Jairus Walker or an Amen Thompson? Not Amen, he'll go too high, but like an Asar Thompson. Or he stays at 15 and gets a guy like Grady Dick who can just shoot the crap out of the ball. I mean, what does that team look like? And they're all under 24? Like, what are we doing here? I could go on for forever. Like, they've got 3 legit dudes in J-Dub, Josh, and Shea. And the best part of tonight, the win is awesome, But like I said earlier, the world was watching tonight. People from all over the planet watching LeBron make history. And while they're watching it, they're watching these kids from Oklahoma City just play their asses off. And I love it. I absolutely love it. J-Dub got our player of the game tonight, by the way. If you haven't seen it on Twitter, you should definitely go retweet that. All right, folks, I've talked long enough. It's time to hit the comment section. Carrie says, man, thank you guys for doing a late night pod. Yes, sir, Carrie. Let's see here. Yanni, I absolutely love how big of a stage the NBA made this game. Just makes it more special for the young core. Couldn't agree more, Yanni. That is awesome. Topher, J-Dub keeps getting better and better. Couldn't agree more. I mean, just fingers crossed he doesn't eventually hit a rookie wall, but he's been so awesome. Tristan says the record stood so long, LeBron wasn't even alive whenever Kareem said it. It's crazy. I wasn't alive either. And LeBron's older than me, but it's been around for forever. Tristan also calling for likes in the stream. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. I said you guys are degenerates for being on with me so late. Ben said hashtag team degenerate. I love it. Hustle on D. Clay may own the Thunder, but Shea owns the Lakers. Yeah, after the pull-up three last year, the I'm him moment. Awesome. Oh, this is why we have so many people in the stream tonight. It's 5 p.m. in Australia. You guys are hanging out, eating some dinner, listening to me talk. I love it. Thank you, guys. Zuria says the same thing. Appreciate you guys from Australia being on here tonight. Will LeBron get fined for the F-bomb? I don't know. That would be funny, but an iconic moment. Iconic. I wish I could have a microphone in front of 25,000 people in the world watching and drop an F-bomb. Put that on the bucket list, folks. David says, 7 a.m. here in Spain. We got people watching in Spain. That's ridiculous. Thank you, David. Joel asks, is Jay Will going to steal JRE's minutes? What a fascinating question, Joel. And long term, 2-3 years down the line, are both those guys still on the team? Or is it like a battle of which one's going to make it? I think Jay Will is the better passer. I want to think Jay Will is the better shooter because he's 15 to 30, but it's such a small sample size. JRE's shot is good. I think JRE is a much better switch defender. Jay Will takes charges better. Which one would play better next to Chet? Lots of interesting things to argue there, Joel, but that is a great point that it's going to be fun to watch moving forward. Eamon says they played the 3-Willie lineup tonight. Love 3-Willie. Kerry, what a big win and praise from Van Gundy. We are going to be on national TV a lot more next year. Maybe we get flexed in one more time this year. That'd be cool. If they make a play-in game, obviously that one will be national TV. But yeah, this year the Thunder got flexed on twice to national television. Next year, Chet coming back. This team, I mean, I think the over-under in Vegas for wins for this team next year is going to be like 42. They're going to get like 3 or 4 or 5 national TV games next year, which is awesome. Douglas says, that was a good game. Wonder if Dort would have guarded LeBron tonight if he would have got the points for the record. I think the NBA wanted to have it happen tonight. Yeah, it was happening tonight. From all the pregame antics, like LeBron didn't fly out his mom from Akron to not break it tonight, right? And as our guy Kamyar said, LeBron didn't want to break it in Milwaukee as Giannis beat their ass on Thursday. So, fair point. I think Lou would have guarded him tonight, Douglas. Would he have gotten the record? I think he would have shot enough to get it. Ben disagrees with me. He says the Dorcher Chamber would have shut him down. Amen, bringing back my old nicknames. J-Dub is Lil Bill. J-Will is Big Willie. What name am I giving Kenny? He gets to keep Kenny Hustle. That's just how it is. Merrick says, did LA once lead 2-0? I think it's the only lead they had all night, maybe. Eamon also says, Mark Daigneault, the coach of the Thunder, younger than LeBron, which is very cool. A lot of people trashing on AD. He did not play a good game tonight at all. Kareem's record stood for 14,187 days. Merrick says J-Dub's ceiling is as high as Jaylen Brown. I agree with that. Is Jay Will a guy? Yes. He is an awesome guy. Big Mike NZ says Jay Will outplayed the max player AD tonight. Is this Eortis? This game was like a playoff atmosphere and great experience. Couldn't agree more. Here's a fun question. Robert asks, how does Poku and JRE fit back into the rotation? Robert, I don't know. And it's going to be fun to see how Daigneault manages that. I think they're going to play. I mean, Poku was playing really good. It's going to be interesting. A lot of mouths to feed. A lot of mouths to feed. Big Mike says, I haven't seen so much propaganda in the past game since the 1930s in Europe. They haven't once mentioned the score. I got pissed off because the official NBA Twitter never tweeted anything about the Thunder, and they led the entire game and won it. And everything was just about LeBron. I get it. Like, tweet about LeBron. This is historic. But throw us a bone, man. So much propaganda since the 30s in Europe. Get out of here. Showing out on TNT was fire. I agree. It was wild that it wasn't the Shea show, and he still dropped 30. Agreed. Hey, it's just routine now. Carrie brings up a point. I wanted to talk about this, but it doesn't feel like the right moment. But he says, we may have seen Baze's last game in OKC, in an OKC jersey. Yesterday, he got minutes. Today, he got a DNP. I don't know. That's going to be interesting. You guys drop in the comments. Do you think Baze gets traded by the deadline? Big Mike says, Joe looks so good every time he has a great game. It's well worth going through the 76ers Reddit of misery. I haven't done that yet. That's funny. Nick tweeted tonight that the offensive efficiency with Joe out there is just absurd. And you know that Sam Presti is taking notes of this. And I think that is going to very much influence what they do moving forward as far as getting shooters around these guys. You get shooters around J-Dub, Josh, and Shea, and they feast. Chet's a shooter, baby. Andrew says, what a game. I'm so proud of how the guys met the moment tonight. Everyone showed out. The future is bright. Yeah, there's a lot of people on Twitter, a lot of national people talking about the Thunder tonight. Caden says, Jacob, man, what a game. Wish the TNT a free gave us more love. Yeah, I wish they would have given us more love as well. A lot of people trashing on Johnny Davis in the comments. So love that. A couple more I saw down here that I wanted to get to. Where are they? Carrie brought this one up. The move Shea put on Russ, that post up and then that half shake, dream shake spin fadeaway. That got me out of my seat on a school night. Speaking of school night, it's almost 1 a.m. My ass got to get in bed. Trey Mann got to learn to be more effective if he wants to be part of the future. Isaiah Joe has made Trey's future very interesting on this team. I got in the obligatory. They haven't added Chet yet. Of course I did. Of course I did. Had to. Craig said, who can sleep after that? Yeah, I'm kind of wired. And I got to teach class in 8 hours. So we'll see how that goes. All right. I went 40 minutes. I got to get out of here. You guys, thank you so much to all the degenerates who got on here at midnight, except for you Aussie folks. It's 5 p.m. You're not degenerates. You're just enjoying your evening. So keep enjoying your evening. And those of you in Spain who said it's 7 a.m., happy Tuesday. Is it? I guess, no, today's Tuesday. Happy Wednesday over there. You guys have a great, great day. Thank you for tuning in to The Uncontested. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Drop that sub on YouTube. We're closing in on that 1K mark. I just think that's a cool number, and I'd like to get 1,000 YouTube subs. So make it happen. I and JD, so JD and I should use proper English, will be on 1:30 p.m. Central Time on Thursday. That's 30 minutes before the deadline buzzer sounds. We'll get on. We'll talk about all the trades that have happened And then we'll be reacting to all the Woj bombs and the Shams tweets as they come through in the final 30 minutes. So make plans to join us. That will only be a live stream. It will not be ripped and put on YouTube, or I'm sorry, on the podcast feed. However, if the Thunder make a trade, we will do a podcast that night and you guys will get a bonus pod in your feed. And then how lucky you guys are. You get me again Friday night as the Thunder take on the Portland Trail Blazers up in Portland. I got the post game for that one, so I'll be tweeting along with you. And then on the post game podcast afterwards, maybe I can convince one of the other guys to hop on with me. We will see. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Enjoy this Thunder win because it was freaking awesome. And we'll be back with you guys Thursday for the NBA trade deadline, aka my Christmas. Talk to you guys soon. Till then, as always, Thunder up.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.